This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word. And for this hour, as always, it is my privilege to serve as host of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. My guest for the hour, at least the preponderance thereof, is the Reverend Dr. Carlos Peralta, a very, very dear man, a very dear friend and partner in the ministry of the gospel. Carlos ministers to Hispanic and Latino church leaders up and down the eastern coast of the United States. But before Carlos and I join ranks, I draw upon the Gospel of Luke, again the 24th chapter, beginning in the first verse. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Friends, we are now 3 weeks removed from Easter Sunday, and therefore 3 weeks removed more broadly from the Holy Week, and more broadly still from the Holy Season that dated back to the first day of Lent. And we must not forget, certainly those of us who are followers of Christ, we must not forget the message of, the reality of, indeed the power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I may, if you are not a believer in Christ, but you are open to hearing this message, perhaps you are earnestly seeking after the truth, let it be known and understood that the entire message of the gospel is predicated upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the great apostle, that is the apostle Paul, has been wont to say, if Christ did not physically arise from the dead, then those of us who not simply profess to, but actually endeavor to follow him, we are the chiefest and worst of fools. Indeed, it would be better if we were to spend our time eating and drinking and making merry, for tomorrow we die. But it is the testimony of the church down through the ages. It is the message of the Word of God, as we find in this gospel, that Jesus Christ, who was born into the world as a man to redeem fallen men and women, who went to the cross having his blood shed in brutal, horrific fashion, who was buried and who ascended, or descended, if you will, into hell itself, preaching his gospel even to the dead souls in hell, according to the word of God. And when he returning in power and glory by way of his physical resurrection from the dead. I love how the Apostle Paul has put it in Romans, his letter to the Roman believers, the very first chapter, that he was declared with power to be the Son of God, courtesy of the Spirit of Holiness, by virtue of his resurrection, his physical resurrection from the dead. We who look to Christ must never forget. And therefore, Easter having come and gone, it is so easy that the realities of life take over almost immediately on that following Monday morn. But we speak of realities, please, with a small r. But we worship and serve, and we lay claim to Jesus Christ, the living and resurrected Son of God. He is reality with a capital R. And therefore, when the ladies visited the tomb, and God blessed them, they had loved Jesus during his life. They continued to love him in his death. They visited the tomb dutifully, this time not to care for the needs of the living Christ, but to care for the body, the dead carcass, if you will, of the dead Jesus. They loved him that much that they would devote themselves to the care and treatment of his body for proper burial. But upon arrival, they don't find him. Upon arrival, the stone, which would have required a significant act of power and of a special mechanism to have it rolled away, it's rolled away. And the word here tells us that there are two men dressed in dazzling white. Another of the gospels speaks of a young man dressed in white. Still another gospel speaks of angels being present. And I think by virtue of the description of their dress, dazzling white, we can read clearly and assuredly that this is an angelic visitation. And for these angels, it's all very matter of fact. Why are you here? He's not here. He has risen, and he has gone ahead into Galilee, just as he told you that you would do. If we are to ask ourselves the question, as no doubt the ladies had, where is this Jesus? We know this much. You will not find him in a cemetery in terms of his body laying in state or in the ground, though he may very well be found in a cemetery to afford comfort and succor to those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, but they need no longer grieve his loss. And friends, as a pastor, I have many times been at hospital deathbeds, many times been in funeral homes, many times been at gravesides, when it has been very evident to me that the power of the presence of the living Christ was operative in the room or at the scene, ministering very, very potently and beautifully to grieving people. He is not amongst dead souls. Nikolai Gogol, the great 19th century Russian writer, offered an entire novel entitled Dead Souls. You will not find Jesus amongst dead souls. Though you may, at least within the context, he isn't amongst them to mourn their loss, but he may very well be amongst us to breathe new life into our dead souls, our dead hearts and minds, minds and hearts damaged by the affairs of life, and most assuredly by the operative and destructive presence of sin. He comes to breathe new life into us. In the book of Ezekiel, the great prophet speaking by way of a vision and imagining, if you will, by way of vision, the valley of dead bones. And the cries goes out that may these dead bones live or come to life. Well, Christ brings life to dead souls. And as we must acknowledge and have already, there are many, many churches, Protestant and Catholic, whereby on a Sunday morning you can go amongst them and you will find lots of dead souls and you will find stagnant air and you will find utterly irrelevant traditions and rituals and forms. By the same token, where you find a body of believers amongst whom the Spirit of Christ is alive and well, men, women, and children who have entered into the living hope. I love how Peter, the Apostle Peter, puts it, that you have been born again into a living hope by way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is this reality with a capital R concerning the resurrection with a capital R of Jesus Christ that I trust becomes for you, if it has not already, reality, bathed in love, grounded in the truth, being destined for eternity in the presence of Almighty God who loves you beyond measure. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined now for the preponderance of the hour, and I must say it is such a pleasure for me. We are joined by the Reverend Dr. Carlos Peralta of Encuentro Ministries. It is a wonderful ministry on behalf of Hispanic and Latino church leaders and their families up and down the East Coast. I say that Carlos is the Reverend Doctor. He would much rather be known as the friend to me and to anyone else. So friend Carlos, God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. What a privilege to be with all of you. Today is a great day. We are alive and we have many reasons to be praising the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for this invitation to participate with each one of you. I am looking for this time together.
Well, Carlos, God bless you. And I do want you to know, brother and friend, that, and I think I speak for the audience, I love your accent, please. I love it dearly. It's only a shame that it's not Welsh, Boston, or Philadelphian. But it's the next best thing. Hey, Carlos, you know, you've been on board with us before, but it's been a while, and you have a wonderful story to tell. Would you kindly share with our audience, an audience that I trust is or will become a kind of listening congregation, share with us your story of how you came to faith, how you entered into formal ministry. Give it a go.
I grew up in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Argentina is a country that is famous for different things. Some people know Argentina because they love a great barbecue. The Argentinian barbecue is famous in all the rest of the world. Some other people know Argentina because we are fans of soccer. There was an amazing soccer player, the name Maradona, and many people know Argentina for Maradona, Maradona. Or today we have another great soccer player. The name is Messi. And if you like soccer, you need to watch an Argentinian soccer game. But when I grew up there, I was growing in a Christian home. My father was at that time a pastor, but he is right now arriving to be 90 years old in June, and he's still pastoring a beautiful congregation in Cottesville, Pennsylvania. I grew up in that home with my dad, with my mother, Iris. And when I was around 5 years old, one night around 1 a.m., my mother led me to the Lord. And that day was an amazing day for me. Since that day, I have much peace and hope for life and also for the future. I grew up there. I did all the things that the typical kid do. I love to play, especially soccer, but I had a dream. I wanted to be a race driver. And now, looking back, I am giving thanks to God that I was never be able to race a car, because probably today I will be very deep at eternity, because I was really a crazy driver when I was very young. But I...
However, if I may interject, brother,
yes.
You are using classic biblical language and metaphor. You are running a different kind of race, are you not?
Absolutely, absolutely. By the way, this kind of race has their own risk, but also it has a greater reward.
Oh, to be sure, to be sure.
I still remember when I was growing up and I was the assistant to my dad. Whatever he needed at church, I was willing to help him. And in that way, I was learning to know the Lord. I was learning to love the Lord. And my father invited me to be a Sunday school teacher when I was 8 years old.
A child prodigy is how we would describe you, Carlos.
And at 11, he led me, gave me the opportunity to start preaching at 11 years old. And I still remember one day I was 13 years and I was at that age starting to do small revivals. At age 15, I was already traveling to other states in my country to preach the gospel. And that is my life, is preaching the gospel. Like my mother used to say, if it's necessary, use the words. But before that, just make sure that all your life is a message of the gospel.
You know, on the one hand, Carlos, and I speak humorously, when I hear that phrase made famous originally by Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel, yeah, and if necessary, use words. On the one hand, it strikes fear into me because I'm a talker by nature. I love conversation. It's why I've listened all my life to talk radio. I'm a Welshman. I was raised amidst a Celtic conversation. I love it. So the art and calling of and calling to preach is a very significant one to me. So when I hear that there's something more to it than speaking, and maybe speaking won't always get the job done, in a humorous vein, it strikes fear into me. But by the same token, more soberly, we know of Christ from his birth. I love the great theological term, incarnation, that Christ is the incarnate Son of God, as John puts it in his gospel, in the very first chapter, the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. For the gospel to pack the punch that it's supposed to have, we have to be far more than words. We have to be embodying and not simply speaking it. And I'm just delighted that there's another one out there like you. Whatever our flaws and foibles, we fully recognize that it's a 1-2 punch. We speak the word, but we live it to offer its, if you will, its clarification.
Yes, and I believe that when we are living the genuine Christian life, that gives us the authority also to speak it with our own words. And I think in times like this, we need to be very, very careful that many people are talking about the gospel, but their life doesn't have any kind of authority. But if you follow those that are demonstrating that they know the Lord, that they love the Lord, that they are living in holiness, I think we will have a complete different result.
Well, I wholeheartedly concur. You know, I think of the remark of the great scientist, Dr. Francis Crick. He was one of the men who discovered the DNA molecule. He was the guy on the English side. Watson was the American. Dr. Crick was asked, why did you become a scientist? And he said, well, when I was a young boy, just as you were a young lad at 5 when you came to Christ, he says, when I was young, I realized that you know, what people gossiped, his word was gossiped, he meant talked about, what people gossiped about was what they took an interest in. And I took an interest in the natural world. And that's why I became a scientist. I think, Carlos, that They're on two levels when we talk about speaking. We can be preaching the word and not really living it. But if we're speaking the word in our conversation, if we're speaking the word in the acting out of our lives, people see that we are truly invested in that of whom we speak, namely Jesus Christ and him crucified. And yes, I heartily concur. When they see him in us and through us, then they're willing and ready to listen. They may or may not be willing as of yet to receive, but they are willing and ready to listen. And I praise God that you are a man well worth hearing. But we're going to be listening to you a bit more on the other end of the commercial divide. Brad Lacey and my friend Carlos Peralta, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and my friend Carlos Peralta of Encuentro Ministries. We resume a second round of conversation. Carlos, as a man who ministers to Hispanic church leaders and to their families, I can tell you as a small church local pastor, you know, we all can speak to the reality and the effects of pandemic that has beset society. Churches have had to literally rethink. You know, they talk about reimagining police forces. Churches have had to do that. And I can only imagine, and from what you have told me, it's accurate, just how badly the Hispanic Latino community has been hurt by pandemic. Would you care to share for a bit what we need to know?
My friend, as you just mentioned, the coronavirus changed our world, our environment, and especially changed our relationships. And for Latino people, the impact has been absolutely incredible. As you know, the world will never be the same, nor the churches. I recently was hearing a person that said, well, we are everybody in the same boat. And when I was listening to him, I said, I'm not sure that we are in the same boat. I'm sure that we are in the same storm, but we are not in the same boat. Some people are in this storm in a five-star cruise, you know. Others are in a small kayak, but many Latinos are, during this big storm, perhaps floating over a piece of wood in the incredible ocean. As you know, crises always affect the people that are poor in a higher percentage than other people that are in better positions. And I can give you an example. I live in Orlando, Florida, and the work here is always around hospitality. The parks right now are running in a 30% of their capability. That means that the hotels are at 30%. That means that the restaurants are at 30%. 70% of the people working in the parks and in the restaurants, in the hotels, were Latino people. That means that this kind of segment of the population are greatly, greatly affected. Our local church, for many months last year, we were feeding around 1,200 families every week because of the coronavirus. There are other aspects that many people are not understanding. I want just you to imagine this situation. Imagine a family with four or five kids, living in a small apartment with only two rooms, one for the parents and another for the three, four, five kids. With the coronavirus, everybody has to go to school online. In many American homes, each kid has their own room, and each kid has not only a cell phone, they have a tablet, an iPad, they have their own computer. Well, many families, they don't have that opportunity. Perhaps there is one computer in the home for seven people. And perhaps there are two cell phones, but they are not capable even to do a Zoom call. I was reading just today that in many schools with a lot of Latinos, they were having to use another app for the cell phone. The name is WhatsApp. And WhatsApp is very famous because it doesn't need a modern smartphone. You can use WhatsApp with a 7 years old phone. But these are some of the consequences. Imagine three or four kids studying in the same room at the same time, being with a different professor, sometimes just with a phone, there is no computer. It is hard for poor people. It's not only the Latinos. As you know, there are other people in the same situation, but many Latinos are in that position. It is tough. But this is not only in the United States. Also in Latin America happened the same.
Oh, I would imagine, perhaps even to an accentuated degree. Carlos, you know, you and I are men of the gospel. And I always think of a survey based upon research that was taken. You know, there's an old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. And yet, a man out of the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Paul Fussell, he has since passed away. He was a professor of English literature. He was one of the grunts with the United States Marines in the South Pacific during the Second War. So he was both an intellectual on the one hand, but a man of action on the other. And the research that he found was such that a quarter of the people who come out of combat, if they went in being men of faith, they came out as men of faith. Another quarter, if they went in as men of faith, they came out with no faith. Another quarter still, they went in with no faith, but came out with faith. And to follow through, another quarter went in with no faith and came out with no faith. I cite this because, you know, when people are faced with these kinds of stresses and crises, it is a challenge to faith. So my question to you is, how have our Hispanic and Latino friends held up on that front?
Last time that we were together, we were talking about the gospel in Cuba and how the gospel was spreading through the Cuba crisis. And I will say that exactly the same is happening with the Latinos under this circumstance. I know churches that are growing, people that, for example, I have a pastor that used to preach only to 60 people every Sunday at the local congregation. Right now, he has 2,000 connections every Sunday.
That is extraordinary. May I ask where this is playing out?
Yes, that person is in Argentina, and right now there are people from 6 different countries that are listening to the gospel through that pastor. It's not the only one. I know many other people that are seeing how the Lord is expanding their connections. I think the people in some way are more ready to listen to the gospel. The problem that I am seeing is that for many people it's a lot more comfortable just to be listened through the internet, Facebook Live, or a YouTube video. But some people, it will be hard to go back to church and having the discipline to congregate with the people. I don't know if that is the same experience that you are having.
Well, not myself per se, but all of the research and the polls that are being taken, and pastors are chiming in. What we are finding on the whole is that there is great concern that a sizable portion of the active church membership will not be returning to active church membership when society opens up more fully. Now, thankfully, brother, our little church has been different. To be quite honest with you, we never did shut down, not even for a week. Uh-huh. We were not glib or flippant about the pandemic, but we sought the Lord, and we believe that He wanted us to stay open. We made some adaptations, of course, uh-huh. But we did not want pandemic to obstruct the ministry of the gospel amongst us. And our circumstances in Conshohocken permitted us to carry on almost, not completely, but almost as if there weren't a pandemic.
Okay.
And God, we've sought to be faithful, and God has been exquisitely faithful back. But other churches, more larger churches, if you will, for them it's going to be a much more difficult proposition because of the logistics of running a large church, just maintaining programs or overseeing the parking lot. But thankfully for us in Conshohocken, pandemic has been a season during which we as Christians have prospered, at least First Baptist Church. The grace of God, we have sought to be faithful, and He has allowed us to be fruitful. But we well understand that two of our African-American congregations in Conshi, they have yet to open because, of course, our black brethren are gravely concerned. They've been hit so much harder, and we pray for them in the love of Christ. But Brad Lacey and Carlos Peralta, we will return for one final round on the other end of the commercial divide. Brad Lacey and Carlos Peralta of Encuentro Ministries, we return for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Just a brief word. My lovely little fellowship very much loves it when I share this. If you're looking for a worship service or would care to visit, we worship on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on the corner of 4th Avenue and Harry Street in Conshohocken. You can check us out on our website at fbccweb.org. Again, fbccweb.org. And given that we work in concert with, and I serve as president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, check us out as well at philadelphiabiblesociety.org. Again, philadelphiabiblesociety.org. Carlos, I know you have a special word that you may wish to offer, by all means. And also, I would like to hear, as I think we all would, how pandemic has impacted your ministry and your experience in the gospel.
Thank you. I was thinking that perhaps we have some people in our audience today that they speak Spanish, and I would love to say hola. Gracias por estar con nosotros hoy escuchando nuestro programa. Nos gustaría que sigas conectado con nosotros. Si no tienes una iglesia latina en la cual congregarte, te invitamos a que consideres visitarnos en Encuentro Latino. Estamos en una iglesia en Cottsville, Pensilvania, Olive Street y Virginia. A las 11 de la mañana los domingos nos encantaría poder recibirte. Pero queríamos también recordarte, este es un tiempo para confiar en el Señor. No te desesperes en medio de la crisis, busca a Cristo. I was sharing with our audience in Spanish that we are so grateful that they are listening to us today, but I was inviting them to consider to find a church where they can worship in Spanish. I mentioned to them that the Encuentro Latino Church in Cottsville every Sunday is open at 11 a.m. for those that prefer to worship in Spanish. I think this time of coronavirus for many is a time of crisis, but I would like to prefer to see this time as a time of challenges and opportunities. It may be the greatest opportunity that we have in our lives to know better God and to make Him know in our generation. It is unto us to be faithful and accomplish God's purpose for our generation. I think this coronavirus season is a time to be content. I discovered that the secret condiment for happiness, blessing, content, is to be grateful in our hearts. The Bible says that we need to remember every day each one of the blessings of our Lord. There is no opportunity to be in anguish when we are praising the Lord. But I think also this is a time for wisdom. The first psalm written was by Moses. It's the Psalm 90. and he was praying that God gave him wisdom. And I think that is the prayer for this time. I make that prayer, Psalm 90:12, every day during this season of coronavirus. We need to learn to live looking life, not as merely human beings as we are, but we need to see this life as God is seeing us. It's a time of opportunity to go back to God. I also believe this is a time for us as believers to increase our testimony of hope. Sometimes I am listening to believers and they are as discouraged as the non-believers. I think that if we are trusting on the Lord, we will be living with a powerful testimony of the gospel. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And also I think this time of COVID is a season to give our best for the kingdom. I think we need to give our best love to the Lord, our best service, our best generosity. We need to invest on the kingdom. There is not much more time. This is the time to give our best to the Master. And also, we need to learn also to suffer. Perhaps in America, we were so accustomed that everything is a little bit easier than in the rest of the world. But this is the time to be more, to persevere in medio of all the struggles. The Bible says that we need to rejoice and be glad because there is a great reward in heaven. And we need also to remember that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Many lessons to learn during this coronavirus season.
You know, when you speak of the issue of suffering and operating in concert, that of persevering, a few weeks back, one of my guests, you may very well be conversant with the Reverend Luminitza Nichols. She is a lady who came to know faith in Christ during her days in communist Romania. Wow. And she's a wonderful lady, Carlo. She's within our ABC network. When I asked her what she felt that the American church had to learn during this day of pandemic and pandemonium, and her response was, the church needs to learn. And for her, there was an element of even greater specificity, which I believe is built into your works, your remarks. Mm. She says, the American church needs to learn to suffer for Jesus Christ. We've never had to suffer before. It's been all been, if not peaches and cream, it's all been very comfortable and convenient. Mm. And she said that we need to learn to suffer for Christ, which is essentially what you were saying as well. When you speak of perseverance, the text that was given to me when I was a young man, an adolescent, having come to Christ amidst very arduous, grievous psychological difficulties, God gave to me Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, or rather, forgive me, 3 through 5. Okay. Not only so, we rejoice in our sufferings, because suffering produces endurance or perseverance. Perseverance produces character, that is, the growth of Christ in us. And character produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us. Dear brother, you are a man in whom that hope dwells very richly and most powerfully.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is a powerful, powerful lesson. I think that we need to memorize the scripture. And when I am talking about memorize the scripture, I always remember my mother. As you know, on March the 2 in the morning, my mother passed to be in the presence of our Lord. She was 89 years old. She had Alzheimer's for almost 10 years, but I remember that even with Alzheimer's, she participated in Bible clubs, and sometimes she was even the second or on the third with more scriptures memorized. even with Alzheimer. And I think the reason because I love the Lord and I love the Bible is because I saw her love, and that really touched my life in a very powerful way.
Well, Carlos, if I may, your mom, M-U-M, that's how we would spell it and pronounce it within my Welsh background, your beautiful mom was the light of Christ to you as mine was to me. I was as blessed as you have been by having a believing mother. And just as she was light to you, I know what light you are to many. And for the sake of the audience, I want each of them to know, and I'm not being obsequious, nor am I trying to unduly flatter you, but you are one of those few men I know in whom the beauty, and I use the word beauty in its most manly connotation, you are one of those individuals in whom the beauty of Christ is made stunningly known. Your life is a sermon, if you will. You don't even have to preach words. You're living it. And I praise God not only to know you, but to be able to share you with this audience. Carlos Peralta and Brad Lacey, we bid you the blessings, every blessing there is to be had, courtesy of the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.